I'm David Allen Carmichael. This is my Faith and Freedom Show, and we're talking to Senator Mike Fasano from the 11th Florida Senate District, and he's answering some questions I have about this proposal to change the Florida Constitution to have an elected public service commission. Later in the show, we're going to be talking about some of the things that have been, the flares that have been flying over some of these issues with regard to activities of either staff members of the Public Service Commission or the commissioners themselves. Senator Fasano, now what's going to happen is some of the problem was the staffers. So there's a point where people get elected and somebody who's might be a 20-year bureaucrat is on a staff. And I've seen this with government bureaucracies in the past. It turns out that sometimes there's a lot of crazy things going down below the clouds where the commissioners or the elected official doesn't even necessarily know that somebody's running amok down below. What is there a mechanism that's going to have to be put into place to have the staffers changed?
Well, that's a great question. And, whatever area of government you're dealing with, whether it be in Washington or the state level, the county level, the city level, you're always sadly going to have a very small percentage of people that you just described. And again, though, who has to, as Harry Truman said, the buck stops here, and it's no different with any elected official. They're the ones that are responsible for the actions that are taken by those who are under him or her. I have a staff. I'm very proud of my staff. But if something goes wrong, I don't come out with a press conference the next day saying it was my staff person that made the mistake. It was me that made the mistake. And I'm happy to see, though, that the governor, our governor, I think, is a great leader. He had quickly replaced two of the commissioners who were coming up for reappointments, who probably would have been reappointed had not all of this mess come out. But he realized that changes needed to be made at the Public Service Commission, not next week, not next month, not next year, but immediately. And he took action by putting two new individuals on the Public Service Commission who have no contacts, who have no relationship or prior relationship or prior contacts with utility companies that they regulate. You know, one happens to be a former publisher of a newspaper. One happens to be the budget director for a sheriff's department. Two people who, in my opinion, will now look at, how these are going to impact the average citizen when you're dealing with rate cases like this.
One thing it's an office that's quasi-judicial. They're going to make they kind of form their own in-house regulations on how to operate, but it really is a point where they're choosing the balance between the needs of the utility and the needs of the public to have a solid utility and one where the folks that are running that utility get their reward that's due the workman. But at the same time, they're having to judge between the needs of the person who has to pay the bill. So
that's a great point. You know, one of the things that it clearly states in our Florida statute is the Public Service Commission, are there to regulate, but they're also there to make certain that they put the rate payer, the consumer, first. Making certain that the decisions they make will not be, will not create a hardship on the consumer who's going to be paying that electric bill, that water bill, or that telephone bill. Unfortunately, though, prior commissioners, not present, but prior commissioners, have forgotten what their duties are.
Okay. Well, thank you. That's great commentary. And folks, again, we're talking to Senator Mike Fasano, the 11th Florida Senate District. Senator, just before we went on the air, the one other thing I brought up was you proposed a bill that goes back to what I see kind of the old school rule of common law where somebody injures a mother with a live human being within her.
Yes.
And there's a penalty that relates to acknowledging that is a person in there. So can you tell us about that?
Sure. We were approached by several pro-life groups that asked us to do a bill. We're calling it the Florida Unborn Victims of Violence Act. And it changes our statute in talking about if an injury to the mother also was an injury to the unborn child, and that's what I would call that person, an unborn child, that the person who hurts or kills the unborn child would be charged just no different as they would be charged killing or hurting, creating injury to any human being.
And what's really, it's kind of strange, it actually does kind of go back to Roe versus Wade. Most people don't understand this. I read and analyzed Roe versus Wade for a radio show.
Yes.
And they actually, when they cited a quote, one of the folks arguing in the case cited common law provisions for what was the standard of law when we came to this country about whether the person inside the womb was once they were quick, what was the standard of punishment. They actually misquoted the commentaries of Sir William Blackstone, and the Supreme Court actually took that misquote and put it as if it was actually the law, and it was actually contrary to the commentaries. And in the old school commentaries of the law that brought us into this country,
right,
it was very clearly, once you could actually say it was a person who is quick, that was alive, if you injured that child and it died, it was the same penalty as if you, you know, shot mom in the head or something like that, not being
exactly
too graphic. But really, and the point was that they missed wasn't whether it was a person or not.
Right.
When it was, you know, what stage it became a person. It was whether or not if they could prove it was alive, now you have a burden of proof to show you actually murdered somebody.
Well, under the Florida statute, if you look at the Florida statute, they talk about the viable fetus. And they describe, a fetus is viable when it becomes capable of meaningful life outside the womb through standard medical measures. Our bill clearly states that it's an unborn child, means a member of at any stage development who is carried in the womb. So that is what we're changing. We're making it very clear that if the mother is harmed, is killed, injury, and the unborn child in the mother's womb is looked at as an unborn child, not a fetus or a viable fetus after a certain period of time, but from at any stage in the mother's womb.
And then, of course, that gives all kinds of things. If somebody hurts a woman and it injures the baby, I mean, it kind of goes back to that same thing, too, where somebody's going to be held accountable for their behavior, especially when they're hurting somebody, because everybody gets hurt when somebody's lost.
Yes.
Is there anything else? Is there any particular bills that you've got that you're putting together that you have a specific passion for?
Well, you know, the Public Service Commission, of course, is probably our top priority. One of the things that I'm hoping to do this year, and, you know, Florida is struggling. I've lived in Florida 38 years. When we've seen recessions hit us in the past in Florida, we've always seemed to be able to, you know, kind of wipe them off our shoulders and move on, because we've always seen the enormous growth, and with growth came, you know, revenue and jobs. But one of the things I'm focusing in on this year as a chairman of an appropriations committee that oversees economic development is to create economic development for Florida, create jobs. We have many people. Our unemployment rate in this state is probably a well over 11% now, 11.5%. Some of our counties are in 13, 14, 15% unemployment. Many of them have lost their jobs, and sadly, many of those people will never have those same jobs available to them. I think we have a responsibility here in Florida to create an economic incentive, whether it be with companies that are already flourishing in Florida, help them build and create jobs, or lure companies from outside of Florida, as we have with Scripps and others, to bring high-tech, decent-paying jobs to Florida, many of them high-paying jobs. Well, the only way we're going to solve this economic crisis is to get people back to work. You can print all the money you want in Washington. Thankfully, we don't have that luxury in Tallahassee. We have to balance our budget. We don't have printing presses at the foot of the Capitol. But the only way we're going to get this economy going again, whether it be around the nation or here in Florida, and that is by creating jobs. So that is my number one priority, is coming up with legislation that will incentivize and create some jobs here in Florida.
I was listening. When you said create jobs, it made me think, what do you mean by create jobs? I've heard strange things coming out of Washington, D.C. about creating jobs. This is incentive. So what is the difference between the way Washington would create jobs and the thing that you're looking for?
Well, one is Washington thinks that the only way you create jobs is pumping money into government programs. That's not what we want to do here in Florida. I'll give you, for instance, I was successful in passing a bill not long ago that created what they call the economic gardening bill. People say, economic gardening, what's that all about? Well, for a change, instead of bailing out these multi-billion, trillion-dollar companies in Michigan and other places in, around the United States, we wanted to help the little guy and gal, the small businessman and woman who never gets any assistance from anybody and probably never asks for it. And what we did was we were able to come up with some money that, because these small businesses who are doing well but just need a little bit of help to expand their business, to buy that the equipment or the machinery so they will have to hire more people. And they can't get loans at the banks. I mean, we've given everything to the banks, and yet they will not help our small businessmen and women out, just like Washington won't help them out. So we created an economic gardening bill that would loan at no interest rate a small loan to a company that has 50 or less employees that are doing well so they can go out and purchase that equipment and hire additional people and pay that loan back over about a year or two. So it goes back to the government to use for other purposes. Those are the types of things I think that we have to create. If we're going to do something for business, they've got to show us what they're going to do. How many jobs are they going to create? And how long are those jobs going to be here, and what kind of salaries? We gave, out of Washington, billions of dollars to General Motors and to Chrysler without one guarantee, not a guarantee. In Florida, you can't do that, thankfully.
The question I have, and this is the hot potato when you come on our show, because, of course, we do the constitutional basis thing.
Sure.
President Reagan said, and the first time I was doing our broadcast at all was actually out of the same station in Florida, January 2007. And President Bush said, he said that the government has been called for these purposes, to extend the nation's prosperity, to spend the people's money wisely. And he kept on saying a few other things. And I held that in check. And I said, well, that goes in the flies in the face of course, what they said in the Declaration of Independence, was to secure these rights, life, liberty, and pursuit of happiness. And keeping that in mind, now here's my challenge to you, Senator, is this idea of, when I think about where Florida gets the money to loan out, it's with the power of the sword, it's with the power of coercion, where they're coercing from one to extract the money and then to give to somebody else, whether it's by application or whatever. It's a business incentive partnership. You know, we hear about socialism. When I look at the definition of fascism, it's a partnership with the government and businesses of, you know, those. It's an association of power.
Right.
And so my problem with your incentive there, where's the money coming from?
Well, it's coming from the taxpayers. There's no question about that. Absolutely no question. However, your point is very well taken, and I don't disagree with you. You know, it's the small businessman and the small businesswoman that is the backbone. They are the backbone of our economy. They're the backbone of our country, along with the many men and women who protect us every day on the front lines, whether it be at law enforcement or over in Iraq or Afghanistan. But we have small businessmen and women who truly are entrepreneurs, who are the true, in my opinion, the capitalistics of our great country. And I really believe that you can have a partnership with them. I don't think the taxpayers are unhappy when we help that small businessman or woman in their community. We're not talking about bailing anyone out. This bill that I passed doesn't bail anyone out. It says if your company is doing well and you're unable to expand because the bank down the street or some bank out of North Carolina doesn't want to loan you the money, we'll assist you as long as you're going to create jobs in doing that, but you're going to pay us back as well. There's nothing that they've done in Washington that guarantees any of those dollars have to be paid back to the taxpayers. Here in Florida, we do that. We also do our best to do something else, which I think we need to do more of, and that is relax the hurdles, take away the hurdles and the barriers that we always put in front of someone who wants to get ahead in life.